Okay, hey everyone, and welcome to the March edition of 3030. I am Patrick Reinhardt here at Conductor. Today we have a lot of stuff to go over because the last month was, a little hectic for some things. We know that there's no ads on the right-hand side of Google anymore, so that has made it as the oh snap moment March. So that's something that we're definitely going to be talking about because a lot of people are asking a lot of questions about it. We also know that AMP pages are now live. We're going to go through that a little bit, and apparently they're very important to Google. There's some statements that were made by Google representatives that I think are very interesting and that are going to be really, really fun to talk about. We actually found our good friend Bill Hartzer actually went in and said actually found that you can now you can suggest changes as an official representative to the Google Knowledge data, so that's pretty cool. Also, Google is dropping all Flash ads and going to HTML5 instead, and we're going to give you another update on Penguin 4, as there have been many and many and many and still not really getting anywhere. And we're also going to be at the Adobe Summit, and we're going to be talking about that as well. So let's get right into it. We have 30 minutes. So, first off, no more ads on the right-hand side of the SERPs. What does this mean for everybody, right? So this is actually something that Google has been testing out for a really long time. You know, a lot of people were surprised. I got a lot of questions about it because people were like, well, why are they doing this so suddenly? What should I do about my budgets and things of that nature? And to be honest with you, they've actually been testing this since 2010, and they finally pulled the trigger on it. There's a lot of, Google responded to this, which we'll get to in the next slide. But really, there's only two exceptions to this because a lot of people have been asking me, what's going to be on the right-hand side now? Are we just going to see this white space all the time? What does this mean? So really, there are two exceptions to this test that they have rolled out. And the first one is the product listing ads, right? Something that I actually really like and have been saying that they've been more prevalent on the right-hand side, so I'm surprised that they haven't taken over the right-hand side yet. And also the knowledge panel. So two things that are going to continue to show up there are those. One is very good for SEOs, which is the knowledge panel. As we know that we have, we have some ability to edit that, which will actually, and even more ability now, which we'll get to in a couple of slides. And also, the addition of this is, the fourth ad on top is the big addition, which a lot of SEOs are worried about, and a lot of people in organic search in general are worried about, because that is further pushing the organic listings down. Now, with this, Google responded to this, and it's something that, a lot of people have been worried about. For the most part, this is kind of par for the course. Google, again, has been testing this since 2010. Google's official statement around all this was, we've been testing this layout for a long time, so some people might see it as a very small number of commercial queries. We'll continue to make tweaks, but this is designed for highly commercial queries where the layout is able to provide more relevant results for people searching and better performance for advertisers. So, with that said, how is this affecting people around the industry, right? Because that's probably the biggest question that everyone has. And to be honest with you, it's been pretty small. I've talked to a lot of people who are in paid search, who run very large paid search campaigns and very small paid search campaigns. And to be honest with you, it's been pretty neutral across the board. It's not really disrupting the auction behavior that a lot of people have been seeing. Really minimal, for the most part, really minimal, effect here and impact here. The biggest questions I've been getting is from smaller advertisers, which is completely understandable. A lot of people have been kind of worried about, hey, listen, I'm a smaller advertiser. How is this really affecting me? And, I don't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a month or, anywhere near that in AdWords every month. So does this mean I'm just going to get priced out and this is just Google, kind of tipping its cap to the bigger brands again? And to be honest with you, that's not really what's happening here. Google even stated that they thought a lot about this, and this was actually why they tested this for so long, because they don't want to price out smaller brands. Because that would just be unfair, right? Because if you're Nike and you're Bob's Shoe Store, .com, obviously Nike has a much larger budget than you, unless Bob's Shoe Store is doing really, really good. But for the most part, Google thought about this, and it's not going to be affecting and has not been affecting anyone. For the most part, smaller advertisers have not seen much of a change in clicks. And this is something, again, they've been testing for 6 years now, so it's not surprising to see them pull the trigger because, to be honest with you, the right-hand the right-hand rail ads, not a lot of people clicked on those. That's something that I've been talking about for years and years with a lot of colleagues, that, you know, who is actually clicking on those right-hand ads? You know, how much money is Google really making off of that? And to be honest with you, I've been a big proponent of the PLA listings ever since they launched. And one of the things that's been out there in the industry that I've been particularly interested in and happy to see is that, something that I've been saying for a long time, you know, they're saying that PLAs demonstrate strong user interaction when they're on the right-hand side, so they're staying put. Now, I find that to be very interesting and actually a little vindicating, because I've been saying this, and anyone who knows me knows I've been saying this for a long time, that, that the PLAs will just begin to dominate the right-hand side of Google's listings when they're triggered. And as they should, you know, they're higher click-through rate, they're more visual, people like them. I know brands who are completely doing all, you know, completely in Google Shopping, Google PLAs. They don't even run, you know, traditional paid search ads. They only do PLAs because that's how much better they perform. So I think from Google side and from the advertiser side, this will wind up being a good thing. Again, not a lot of impact. If you're running paid search campaigns, you know, I'm sure you've had to adjust a little bit, but for the most part, you know, you should not be seeing a lot, or at least the majority of you should not be seeing a lot of impact from this change. From an organic search side, the fourth ad adding on top, I mean, listen, this is just Google doing what they do, right? You know, when Google, you know, when the local listings start to come out more, you know, we've seen the fourth ad, you know, tested on and off for years. This probably will not impact, visibility too much. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people, and, few people are worried about this, you know, quote unquote. But, you know, to me, I don't see this as much of a big deal. This is Google. They're going to put, you know, they're not going to show up for every single query. You know, we really want to be ranking for those long tail, you know, further down the funnel keywords for the most part anyway, as most of our traffic, or at least most of our converting traffic, probably comes from the long tail, where these ads have really no chance of showing up. These are for really broad keywords, such as running shoes or car insurance or things of that nature. So we're really not going to see, I don't think we're going to see too much of an impact from an organic side either. So all in all, that is what's going on with the SERP change. So going from there, I'm sure everyone has noticed and have seen, and of course I've been, you know, kind of shoving this down everyone's throats the last few times, that AMP pages are now fully live and apparently very important to Google. You know, I've been saying this for the last few, the last few webinars that, AMP pages are going to be the future of mobile search, that they're going to continue to push this. They started, you know, last month we talked about how they were sending out updates and emails in the Search Console about AMP pages and about, you know, giving examples of pages that could be amped up, as I've been calling it. And for the most part, these are now fully live, and I think they're great. I don't know if everyone on the phone has seen, but if you haven't, go to your mobile phone and start Googling anything, Google Donald Trump, or, you know, really Google AMP, or really anything, and you'll see in, that the gray AMP indicators have now all been turned green. And to be honest with you, to me, the experience is really great, right? You know, you get there, you click on it, it opens up instantly. There's literally no load time whatsoever. They're ad enabled, and for the most part, I think it's really, really good and really cool. I've been telling a lot of my clients to kind of switch over to this. Again, last month, I know I talked about, I've been talking about this month after month, but I believe that we have, there's a real opportunity here for everyone, not just publishers, who it was originally targeted at. Seeing Google, I've seen, people get, notifications in Search Console who are e-commerce, who are, very small, blog sites, not necessarily just large news organizations, but we've seen a lot of people go, getting these notifications. So Google is pushing this. I urge everyone on the phone to, to go and look into this. And this is going to be your blog content, right? It's not going to be your product pages, not yet anyway. It's not going to be anything like that, not your category type pages. Maybe not, but this is really going to be your blog content, like an insight repository, any sort of, blog-like content that you have is where this is going to be really big. And one thing, Google's VP of Engineering at SMS West said, everywhere we use content, we want to embrace AMP. And everyone on the phone should really take that seriously and take AMP seriously, because Google is pushing this. And that statement, I think, is very telling, right? Because for the most part, he's saying that We want everyone to use AMP, not just for a specific type of content, but all content that makes sense for it to use. So again, this is something that everyone should be looking into. I will do my best not to mention this again next month because I know everyone's like, oh God, Pat's talking about AMP again. But for the most part, I think that, you know, now that it's rolled out, we're again going to see a lot of people using this in a lot of interesting ways. And, you know, going forward, everyone should be looking into this. So what next? This was actually really cool, and our friend Bill Hartzer actually, you know, wrote a great article about this over at his website, you know, BillHartzer.com, and everyone should go check it out. And what this is he was kind of Googling around, and he noticed that when he Googled his name, because he monitors his name, as many of us do, I'm sure, that he noticed that there's this new option to suggest a change to the knowledge graph, and that's really interesting because, you know, normally, you know, people were filling out information in Freebase, they were pulling it from Wikipedia, you know, really you didn't have any, you know, control over this. So much like you can suggest an edit to a, you know, a Google Places page, you can now suggest edits for the knowledge graph. I don't know if this is a test that they're running. I did this on a lot of people's names, a lot of different companies, and I got it to trigger several times. So I believe that this is something that they're probably rolling out, pretty much globally going forward. But I think it's actually really cool, and you can see that, you know, when you click the suggest a change button, it you know highlights very much like LinkedIn. It highlights the different areas that are editable. And then you suggest the change. And then you go through two other screens where you suggest a change, and then they thank you for your feedback. So this is, and Google released a statement about this. So if you officially represent a topic that has a knowledge graph card in Google search results, you can request changes to that card. To be recognized by Google as an official representative, quote unquote, you need to be signed in as an owner of the topic's official website, YouTube channel, or Google Plus page. So this is actually pretty cool, and it's you know Google giving a little bit more control to us, especially over our personal data, because you know while you can always edit a Wikipedia page, your Google Plus page, and I guess your YouTube channel as well, you know it's good to be able to just do it right in the knowledge graph, and that's Google being proactive and allowing people to edit their names. And of course I'm sure that there's a whole a whole QA test behind this to make sure that you're the right person to make these edits. But again, you know, just something really cool. So good find, Bill. Okay, this is something that's going to affect all of our customers and anyone else who is running display campaigns. So Google has officially announced that they are dropping all Flash ads and are going to HTML5 ads instead. This is not something that should be a surprise to anyone, as you know, Flash has been going the way of the dinosaur for years now. But you know, by January 2nd, 2017. Google will be requiring that all display ads be in HTML5. The statement from Google was, you know, starting back in 2016 on June 30th, display ads built in Flash, you know, can no longer be updated into Google AdWords. So you have until, you know, really June 30th of this year is when that's going to stop. You're not going to be able to upload anything that is built in Flash. So, you know, for the most part, everyone should have been switching over to the HTML5 ads anyway. But again, you know, this is a lot of work. You know, for people who are running really, really large display campaigns, this is really going to be affecting you going forward. This is something that you should probably start changing now so that you have enough lead time. Because again, on June 30th, you're not going to be able to upload anything in Flash. And then by January 2nd of next year, that's it. So really, you have until next year the cutoff is really June 30, 2016, to continue using Flash ads. So you should just start switching over to HTML5 now. Now, if you're running a really large awareness campaign, really large display campaign, the sooner the better. Get out of Flash. I know a lot of people who are using them still. This is kind of a disruption to kind of, you know, business as usual type things. But, you know, now you have plenty of time to get this going. I mean, right now it's March, so March, you know, April, May, June, so you have 3 months, three or four months, you know, 3.5 months to kind of take care of this and get this going, where you can no longer, for new ads, will all have to be in HTML5, but then you're going to have to switch over any legacy stuff that you have in there over from Flash to HTML5. So get going on it now. And make sure that you don't kind of get into crunch mode. So, because this shouldn't be that big of a deal for a lot of people, but it is a kind of a, it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of manual work for a few folks. So definitely keep that in mind. You can find more about this at Google support forums, right in the link in the presentation. Okay, Penguin 4 update. So, as we all know, SMX West has been going on this week, and Gary Ellis from Google, was asked, of course, when is Penguin 4 going to be up? Is going to happen? Because they were saying first it was the holidays, then they extended it to the end of Q1, which we are fast approaching, and now it's saying, a lot of people have been saying that. He's just, he said that he's just not going to give dates anymore because he's been wrong 3-4 times. It's bad for business when he gets dates wrong because it spurs, people tweeting. It spurs, angst and anger from SEOs, that, oh, God, we've been waiting. We've been waiting for this to go live. I have a lot of clients and businesses. I have, a lot of stuff that's been kind of waiting in the wing for this. I've been working on this for, almost 2 years now. So when's this going to go live? The answer is, there is no answer, unfortunately. I would be shocked if Google missed their Q1 deadline, but you never know. We just don't know. We know that they're working on it. Hopefully they get it out by the end of March, but they may not. So anyone here who's been negatively affected by Penguin or was negatively affected by the last Penguin update, you're just going to have to keep doing the good, fighting the good fight and doing the work. Google will release this eventually. This is not going to be something that's going to happen 6-8 months from now. We are weeks away, most likely, from this launching. It may not be the last week in Q1, but it may be the first week in Q2, but who knows? Google may roll this out tomorrow. They may be rolling it out right now for all we know. They're not going to tell us, but at the end of the day, they're going to stop commenting on when it's going to go live, which is unfortunate because we've all been waiting. But for the most part, we're just going to have to, wait a little bit more, and, they'll ultimately roll it out. So just keep hanging on. And very exciting. So we are going to be at the Adobe Summit this year, which is only about 12 days away from right now. So if anyone here is going, you want to come visit the awesome conductor team who will be cheering on all the attendees all week long. They will have a booth in the community pavilion. I unfortunately will not be there, but we have a group of awesome people who are going and going to be handling that. We rented 2 Vegas-style game machines that we're going to have at our booth, and we're going to be giving everything away, from gift cards to drones to branded conductor swag. And, everyone loves swag. So if you want, and you don't want to miss your chance to walk away with a $1,000 City Visa gift card because, free money, right? So if you guys are going to Adobe Summit, definitely come check us out. In the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, there is a link to our presence at Summit. So we have some special customer perks. So everyone on the phone, there's a VIP dinner at Tao. If you're a customer on this phone, or really just a customer in general, and you're going to be there, definitely ping your CSM about this and ask, because we would love to have you and love to host you. So from there, that's everything that has happened this month. So we have about 10 or so left. So let's see if anyone has any questions. And they're coming on. Here we go. A lot of questions about, a lot of questions about the right-hand side ads going away. So, first one. So, does that mean we should move our budget that was dedicated to the right-hand rails into PLAs? That's a good question. Be honest with you, I don't know if that's exactly what you should be doing. What you should be doing is ensuring that, with this change, that your budgets are allocated appropriately. Now, again, I'm a big fan of PLAs. Most of my colleagues who are running large-scale paid search campaigns are big fans of PLAs and big fans of Google Shopping. So I would think that, from there, I don't think you should necessarily move your budget, but I think that you should make sure that your budgets are allocated properly and look at this as a kind of as an opportunity maybe to look a little further into PLAs, because again, they're more visual. They have a lot better, from what I've seen, they have a lot better click-through, a lot better engagement. Again, they are going to take over the right-hand side. We've seen in the past that Google was testing even up to 16 PLA ads coming up on the right-hand side. So for the most part, they may completely take over the right-hand side for, you know, for anything when they're triggered. So I don't think it's necessarily about moving budget. I think it's about re-examining your budget and potentially reallocating some budget more into PLAs. If you've kind of been doing like 25% PLAs, you know, 75% traditional, maybe you should look into getting a little bit more into PLAs, because they're definitely going to become more prominent and more people are more people have been interacting. Again, I have a lot of clients who have moved their entire budgets into PLAs, which I'm sure a lot of people on the phone would be like, that's crazy. But for the most part, that's how good of engagement they're getting. So definitely something to consider. Great question. Thank you so much. Should I cut out the budget that was dedicated to the right-hand sale ads? Again, it's not necessarily about cutting or moving or, you know, getting rid of budget, but this is really about reallocating budget. And for the most part, you know, on the first couple of slides, you know, we talked about, you know, this isn't impacting paid search programs that much for both large brands and small brands from the data that we've been getting back and from a lot of the industry tests that have been going on. And even though, you know, we're still kind of just in this, you know, they just released this a few weeks ago, you know, for the most part, we're not going to see a ton of things changing, right? We're not going to see a lot of things. Again, this is a good way to, you know, take this as an opportunity to reallocate your budget and kind of rethink where you guys are spending and how it's kind of working out for you. Does an AMP page live on a separate URL? That's a great question. Okay, so here's, you know, so from what I understand, here's how the AMP pages work. So the AMP page is a separate URL, and then that page is canonical to the live page, and then the live page references the AMP version of the page. So it's very similar to a different language, right? If you're using an hreflang tag. So for the most part, the live page is still what Google sees, what Google will crawl and index in its index for organic search. The AMP page is specifically designed for that AMP carousel on mobile devices. So obviously we wouldn't want that version of the page. It is a separate version of that page to be indexed, right? Because that wouldn't make sense, and that would just create a duplicate content issue because it's the same exact page with the same exact content. So from that perspective, what it is when you create these AMP pages and when you have them live, it basically works the same as a canonical tag, where the live page is referencing the AMP page, and the AMP page is canonical to the live page. And that way, when Google comes through and it displays its mobile results, it will properly understand that there's an AMP version of this page that should be shown in the carousel or in the results, and then that's what you would like to show in mobile results. So, you know, definitely go to, you know, ampproject.org and check out, you know, all the different, you know, questions and all the different ways that people have been coding these and kind of an update on that. But for the most part, yes, it is a separate URL, but it works much like it works exactly like a canonical page where it won't get crawled and indexed, it won't be, but it will be referenced from the live page. Okay. And we have time for, okay, just about one more. So there is no hard date on Penguin 4.0. No. So again, no. Unfortunately, you know, this is going to be one of those things again. You know, I hate to repeat myself, but I will reiterate it that, you know, Google probably should stop telling us, you know, when these things are going out. You know, when they rolled out, you know, when they assimilated Panda, you know, last month into the core algorithm, you know, that was a big deal. But they didn't announce that, right? We knew quality updates were happening. We knew that they were, you know, but to be honest with you, if we knew they were coming, then that would have, you know, Google would have spent that much more time and, you know, trying to answer our questions through two people. And, you know, that's not time well spent for them. That's not time well spent for us, to be honest with you. So from that perspective, no, we're not, you know, Google should probably just stop announcing, you know, anything coming, you know, to be honest with you, to save us all, you know, to save us all some headaches. But for the most part, we are not going to see, they're not going to announce any more hard dates on Penguin 4.0. It will happen. My guess will either be the last few days of Q1 or the first couple of weeks of Q2. But, you know, again, you know, don't take that as gospel. You know, a lot of people are waiting for this. I know it's been painful. It's been a really, really long time. But Google, you know, Google should probably stop, you know, mentioning when these things happen and when they're coming up. So, That's really all we have time for today. Thanks everyone for joining. Another successful month, a lot of stuff happening. Again, if you have any questions, please just follow me on Twitter at AskReinhardt and just use the hashtag Conductor3030. We'll be answering questions for the next hour or so if anyone has any. You can always reach out to me on email at p.reinhardt@conductor.com, and definitely continue to check out our blog where we always have different types of insights going out on a daily and weekly basis. So thank you all so much for joining me once again on this March edition of 3030. Looking forward to talking to you next month. Talk soon. Bye.